to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me in studio today is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. How are you doing today?
Doing well. We had a good meeting last night. Some important topics were on the table, so I'm glad that we got through those.
There's a lot to cover, so let's just get right into it. I think the one that definitely up for discussion across the community right now is the Northern Living Allowance / grant for child care workers. The province is looking to eliminate it. We heard a lot of concerns that this could drive away staff as they just won't be able to live in the region. You brought a motion to lobby the government to, remove the cut. So why did you think this was an important step to take?
Yeah, I've been hearing from parents. I've been hearing from child care workers. I've been hearing from those who ran child care facilities, including the Y, the Wheat and Penny Child Care Center with Pastor Rideout, and the Eagle Ridge Child Care Facility. I've heard from them all that if these cuts continue, there's going to be a whole bunch of repercussions. There's the potential that some of them are going to shut down, and they weren't. They sent me letters giving me dates when they were likely to close if these cuts carry on. The other repercussion: those that don't shut down, they're going to have higher prices for their individuals who use the facility. And they are losing staff. These are not staff who make huge money in our region. And a cut like this represents a significant change to their incomes. And just given the economic circumstances, people are not going to do these kind of jobs without that kind of a supplement, is what's being described to me. So it has huge repercussions. So I think childcare is really important for people in this region. It needs to be effective and safe and accessible. And I think those are all going to be impacted by this. So I brought a motion last night asking Rebecca Schultz. Now, it's a provincial issue. It's not municipal, but we can lobby them. So we're going to be going down to talk to the government next week as part of a convention that we're going to. And we'll be making an effort to speak to her. And we're also going to be sending her a letter basically asking them to reassess the planned discontinuation of the of two things, the accreditation process as well as the Northern Living Allowance, because of the we think it's going to have a disproportionate effect in this region in particular. And this region is a region that needs good child care. Everyone does, probably throughout Alberta, but ours is going to be really affected, and we need to make sure that this is addressed.
We heard from a lot of people affected by, you know, childcare, either if they're employees or if they're a parent, and they said that this could have a devastating effect on childcare across the region. Do you think it could potentially, reach that devastating level?
Yeah, in the motion I brought yesterday, I used the word crisis. I don't use that very often, but this is exactly what's going to unfold here, is a crisis in childcare. And it has repercussions for a lot of things. You know, parents who, single parents, you can imagine their circumstances. If they're suddenly going to have to pay a lot more money for childcare, that's one issue. Yesterday there was a shutdown of some of the child care facilities because they were protesting downtown to let people know about this issue. And that impacted schools. It impacted, businesses who had to make sure that somebody was there to cover a position if a parent couldn't go to work. So there are a lot of repercussions. Child care is an absolutely essential service in this region, and we need to make sure that the provincial government understands the position of this region. And we unanimously supported the motion last night. So we're going to do our best to twist all the arms we can. We're going to be talking to the local MLAs this afternoon about the same issue and reinforce exactly our position.
We heard from MLA Tanny Yao, and he had mentioned that he believes that the average income in Wood Buffalo may be playing a part, that maybe some people outside the region just don't know how expensive it can be to live up here. Do you think that's a fair comment?
Yeah, average incomes are sometimes looked at by governments, but these are not the individuals who are making those average incomes. The people who work in childcare facilities are not the ones making the big money up in our region. So it's a it's a nonsensical position if the government says that these cuts are necessary because, you know, these people make too much. That's absurd. You know, we need to make sure they're making a living wage. And a cut of this magnitude, and I've talked to the workers themselves, they're just not going to do it. They've told me flat out. They are not going to continue in this position. If they can find an alternative job that essentially pays better. And people have options. Even though the economy is not where we would like it to be, you know, people still have choices. And they, you know, I don't want to see more people leave this region. And that's, you know, if I'm thinking of coming to this region and I find out there's a child care issue in this region, I'm less likely to move to this region. So this is another thing that's going to impact more people coming. We want people living in this region. We want people staying in this region. All these issues, you know, meld together. So we need, as a council, to do everything we can to make sure that we're making this a place where people, you know, really want to live here. And this is a significant concern.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me in studio is Mayor Don Scott, and before the break, we were talking about concerns regarding the Northern Living Allowance being scrapped by the provincial government for child care workers. If you're looking for more information, including Wood Buffalo Council lobbying the province to remove the cut, all you have to do is head to the Mix news page. And Mayor Scott, probably the biggest thing in the news across the world is the coronavirus. And I believe there's 14 cases in Alberta. None are in the Wood Buffalo region. There have been some tips about, you know, just practice good hygiene and you should be fine. And I had a chance to talk to Scott Davis, the emergency manager for the RMWB. And he was saying that there are some protocols in place. I want your thoughts on the municipality's plans so far to make sure that the coronavirus can't spread across the region.
Plans are underway, and we're starting to communicate those plans. Just before I walked into the studio this morning, I sent a message out to the team asking if they could communicate the plans to all the Indigenous leadership in the region and the leadership of the mosque and the various churches. I've spoken to the leadership at several of the schools. There are a lot of plans in place. I think we just need to do a really effective job making sure that everyone's aware that you know, that we are ready for this. So I guess you never know what you're going to face, but we want to be as ready as possible and prepared. You know, I don't want people to panic. There's obviously not a confirmed case in this region as of this moment, but I still want people to take the proper precautions, especially if you've traveled or you're close to someone who's traveled overseas, then please take precautions and please know what the signs are. There's a website, the AHS website has a lot of information on it. The health minister, you know, is they're dealing with this as they tackle it. But there's a lot of information out there. I just want people to really be vigilant in preparing themselves for this.
You mentioned one concern is people who are traveling, to make sure that they monitor their symptoms to make sure that they don't potentially have the virus. Obviously, we do have a lot of people that travel in and out of the region. Is there a concern regarding that?
Yeah, it's one of the concerns I've expressed is that, you know, I think that things like camps can be a potential breeding ground for things like this, for viruses. Now, I have no information that any camp has any concern at this point, but it is definitely a concern. And just to remind everybody, we have about a third of our population that travels in and out of the region and stays in camps or other accommodations. So it's something that's significant. We are, I think, disproportionately, you know, impacted by that issue, obviously, because of the number of people that travel in and out of the region. So we want to make sure that there's information at the airports. We want to make sure that organizations like industry have all the information they need. I anticipate that industry is going to be very on top of this and making sure that their employees are as protected as they can be. But it is certainly a concern, and I want people to be very vigilant. Mm-hmm.
One other, I guess, big story across the news is the economy. One of the big reasons is the coronavirus. And we saw a historic drop in oil prices over the weekend. Obviously, the entire Canadian economy is impacted, but I feel like specifically Wood Buffalo might be taking a bigger hit. Is there any concerns right now for you, or do you think this is just something that might just come and go?
You know, I'm concerned every time I see these things happen. It just shows that we need access to Tidewater for our oil. It's been way too long coming. And now, because we do not get the world price of oil for the oil that comes out of Alberta, we get a discounted price because we only sell it to one purchaser, which is the United States. Now Saudi Arabia and Russia are in a war, a price war over oil, and that's why oil is collapsing. So we're at the mercy of other jurisdictions. So I would say that the federal government needs to do a way better job making sure that this stuff is a priority. Getting our oil to Tidewater is critical. Making sure that people understand we're open for business is critical. It's going to be even tougher now because businesses are going to take a look at the price of oil, and that's going to be a factor in their investment decisions. So there's a lot of work to be done to make sure that that we are seeing the business investment that we would like to see in the region. But I don't think people should panic about it. There's inevitably going to be some changes in the economy. They're going to go up and down. But in the long haul, we are still better positioned than any other place in Canada, in my view. We have billion-dollar industries in our backyard, and several of those industries, not all, not universally, support this region very heavily. So I think we're well positioned. There's going to be challenges. The next few years are going to be a very challenging time, but I still have a good reason to feel optimistic in the long term.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
Return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.75. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me in studio is Mayor Don Scott, and before the break, we were talking about concerns regarding the coronavirus and the economy, and Mayor Scott, you had your council meeting yesterday, and you guys approved two projects for the downtown core. I guess we'll start off with this park around Franklin and Main. Most people will know that area for its parking lots there. But it passed 8-3, and you were one of the people who voted against this. Why were you, against this project?
Sure. So that's just for me personally. Council as a whole made a decision, which I completely get behind. Once we make a decision, democracy speaks, and we always get behind the decision that the whole group makes. But me personally, I wanted a project down there that would drive people downtown to really invigorate the downtown core, and whether it was restaurants, we've made a lot of efforts to see if private businesses would be interested in going down there. There's been a lot of ideas thrown about. Of course, the properties down there were expropriated many years ago, and the cost of the expropriation was unbelievable. It just shows you that governments need to be cautious when they do these things. There was, I think, over $45 million spent on the expropriation. I don't think anybody at the time who did the expropriation would have envisioned that the end result would in part be a park. There was a vision to do a much bigger project. That didn't proceed, and the economic times have changed and the climate's changed, and that was discussed a lot last night. And this is, a park space for part of that land is it wasn't the ideal result from my perspective, but now that we're all behind it, we're going to make it the best space we can. I've had a lot of young people come to me and say, how come we don't have an outdoor pool? There's tons of opportunities for the space down here. So, and the park is only going to be for a part of the land, so it's not going to be the entire piece of land. But it'll definitely be an improvement over the big empty parking lots we have down there. The parking lots are used sometimes, but it's not really an effective use of space, I would say.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was mentioned that if there is commercial development maybe planned for that area, the park can be moved?
Yeah, there's the potential that changes can be made in the future, and that's always going to be the case. So if something changes, then we can adjust plans. But right now, the plan is for part of that land to become a park. There were some slides shown last night, if anybody's interested in looking at the council meeting. online, you'll be able to see that. But it's, you know, downtown revitalization is an absolutely critical thing for this council, and it's one of our priorities, so that's why we're working so hard to do it. So the, you know, what I see coming next is there's going to be a process where we try to, you know, get input on what additional elements should be in that park. A lot of people talked about lighting last night and things like that. We want it to be something that really attracts people downtown and is in fact utilized. There were some, one of the concerns I expressed is that if I had a choice between going to the SNY or to a park on Franklin and Main, I'm going to go to the SNY because I think the waterfront's the jewel of this community. But council as a whole decided to proceed with the park, so I'm absolutely behind it. So let's make it the best park we can, and hopefully we can have some design elements in there that are really going to attract people down there.
The other project that was approved was a year-round event space down by the waterfront. This was fully supported by council. So why was this project something you wanted to back?
Yeah, I love our waterfront. Anybody who comes to our region and talks to me after I take them down to the waterfront says that we that space is underutilized right now. Other parts of the world really take advantage of their waterfront. We have not done so. And we're just starting to get to that point now where we're starting to have events down there like Ribfest and other things. And the ATC Festival was down there. There's going to be a lot more events in the coming years. And we really want to seize the moment and take advantage of our waterfront and showcase it, which is something that this project is going to help us achieve.
And I believe the funds for this project are coming out of the 2020 budget. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
I guess, do we know how much was it allocated during the budget process, or do we have just an extra amount of funds that we could just designate to different projects?
Yeah, so $30 million has been approved by council for design and construction of a waterfront park project over 3 years, and that's 2020 to 2022 as part of the capital budget. And this recommendation would be incorporated into that project.
Okay. And Mayor Scott, we have just a little bit of time left on the show, and I think one last topic I was hoping to discuss coming from last night's council meeting was a motion brought forward by Councillor Keith McGrath in regards to parking enforcement. I know one of the big parts of the motion was potentially looking into having an early payment discount for people who get a parking ticket. So instead of it being $120, it could be $60 if they pay it within so many days. And I think the one question a lot of people in the community want to know is this approved, or is the municipality just looking into it right now? I'm assuming people who get a ticket maybe today or tomorrow might be wondering, ooh, do I get a discount right now?
No, there's no. Well, there is a small discount in place right now. I think when that was discussed at council, there was kind of some snickering because the discount was $5 for early payment. So, you know, we think if someone's going to pay a ticket as a council, I think the sense in the room was there should be a more significant discount for early payment. And but what the motion was is to really benchmark us against other municipalities and to see what other municipalities are doing. So the change has not occurred yet. What's going to happen next is administration is going to take the motion that Councillor McGrath brought forward, which is an excellent motion, look at what else is being done in other parts of Alberta, bring that back to council. That way we can have something to compare ourselves to, so that our if we do have a discount or if we have fines, we want to see how we compare to other regions and make sure that we're consistent. Mm-hmm.
Getting behind having administration look into it is one thing, but is this something that you support, potentially having a discount in place?
No, absolutely. I my experience, because we all get parking tickets, I'm no exception, is that you want to have some sort of an incentive for an early payment, and that's not a bad idea. You know, I don't want to preempt how I would vote on it, but certainly it's something that instinctively makes sense. I would want to have my mind open at a future meeting, but my sense in the room is that we're all very interested to see what other municipalities are doing and make it make ourselves, you know, just to address that issue.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, that's all the time we have for this week's edition. But we always appreciate when you spare a couple minutes of your time to come on the show.
Happy to be here, and all the best to the listeners. Please be careful out there and make sure you're being vigilant in your practices and make sure that we keep everyone safe.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters. But make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.